Thank you, Gabe, for a great reading. And keep that text marked, if you will. We'll hopefully come back to that in a little bit. Talking about the Spirit of God this morning. But first, a couple of announcements tonight. Anybody know what's happening tonight? We're going to have a youth-led worship, are we not?
Yeah.
We are, okay. I'm surprised we didn't get that in the announcements, but there it is, youth-led worship tonight. And I know those guys would be so excited to get up here to lead and look out and see all you tonight who were here this morning. So if you can make it back tonight, please do encourage these young men in their leadership of the Lord's work and the Lord's people. Be great. Also glad to have Dr. John and his daughter Anna back from a medical mission trip down to Peru. You can ask them about that trip. They probably got a story or two they can tell. Glad to have Barbara Gentry back after a broken arm. Good to hear the good things about that. So many good things that come out of difficulties that we face. And the Spirit is the one who helps a lot of that happen. So we're talking about the Spirit of God. And I know you've got Romans 8 marked. Lord willing, we will come to that. But go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. And some of you won't even have to go back there. You can just think about Genesis 1 and you can quote the first two verses in your mind, which say this, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. The Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. This is God's account of His creation. He's about to tell us how He spoke everything into existence. The only thing He didn't speak into existence in that creation week was man. Formed him from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the word that we would, in Greek and in Hebrew, same idea, soul, psuche, the spirit. God put into man the breath of life and he became a living soul. So we're talking about God's Spirit in the beginning. And the first words we have about His Spirit is that He's moving over the surface of the waters. Now go all the way from Genesis 1 to the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. And Mark begins his Gospel a little differently than the others. And this is what we read in verse 9. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness. It's an interesting thing to make the jump, isn't it, from Genesis chapter 1, where it says the Spirit of God was moving on the surface of the waters in the creation account. That was the creation account. Everything that is in the universe was about to come into the universe, and the Spirit of God was there in the presence of all of that moving over the surface of the waters. And then we go to another creation. Jesus rising from the waters of baptism. And the Spirit of God is there, descending in the form of a dove. I think there's definitely a connection. We see the Spirit in the beginning on the surface of the waters. We see the Spirit here when Jesus rises up out of the waters. The beginning was the account of the creation of everything. And Jesus is beginning His ministry wherein He will help us to recreate everything anew, especially ourselves. What does Paul write about those who are in Christ? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation that only comes through God. It only comes through Jesus. And that's what we're seeing from Genesis chapter 1, the creation, and Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the new creation taking place through Jesus Christ. And then we follow on into our New Testaments to the Gospel of John chapter 3. Jesus talking to Nicodemus. In Nicodemus was a Pharisee, so John begins chapter 3 this way. There was a ruler of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night, said to him, Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus was expressing faith in Jesus. He knew nobody can do what you do unless God is with him. That's the exact purpose of those miracles, was to show people that Jesus was in fact from God and God himself. And Nicodemus is making the perfect observation here. Jesus answered and said to him in verse 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, we're not finished with this text, so keep it open there. But isn't it interesting that we see the Spirit of God in the creation moving on the surface of the waters? Jesus rises from the waters of baptism as his cousin John baptizes him, as Jesus would say, to fulfill all righteousness. And when he fulfilled all righteousness in the baptism, the Spirit of God descended as a dove. And voice says, this is my beloved Son, and you I'm well pleased. Nicodemus shows up at Jesus' door one night. He says, we know you've come from God because nobody can do the things you do unless God's with him. And I know I've made this observation before, and you might remember it, and you might think, oh yeah, Marty, you said that before. But isn't it interesting how Jesus responds to Nicodemus' statement? I mean, if you're at home one night and somebody comes in and, my name is Nicodemus. I've come because I've seen the things you do, and I know nobody could do the things you do unless God's with him. Now, I would expect that you would say something like, well, that's a very astute observation you've made. I really appreciate you paying attention to my works because this is what I've... Nothing like that. Jesus doesn't say anything like that. What does he say? Man, you need to be born again. What? Where does that come from? You need to be born again. What do you mean born again? Can a man be born when he's old? Oh, you're going to be born by water and the Spirit of God. There's the connection again. The Spirit of God and water. A new birth, a new beginning, a new creation. There was the initial creation. You remember what God said at the beginning of the first, or at the end of the first creation? He said, it's very good. All the way through there, he was saying, it's good, it was good, it was good. And then he got to the end, he said, it's very good. Jesus is about to bring very good back. That's what he's talking to Nicodemus about. This new birth, this new creation by water and the Spirit. We got the connection of water and the Spirit again. And then Jesus goes on to talk to him about the Spirit because, as you can imagine, Nicodemus had questions. Verse 7, do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. I sure am glad Jesus put this in there. Because as a man, I want to know stuff. And it's frustrating when you come to things that you don't understand and you can't understand and you have no answer for. And Jesus is telling us, the Spirit is real, the Spirit is there. You've got to be born of water and the Spirit, but you're not going to figure it out. The wind blows and you can't figure that out either. Bless their hearts, you just watch our weathermen. They try to figure that stuff out. They try to show you stuff. And I don't know, I got... We did something, in our backyard, we got a zip line. And the great thing about a zip line, well, one great thing is your kids can play on it and your grandkids can play on it. That's a great thing. Another great thing is it's a wind detector. Be sitting in the house, just watching TV and something goes, it's that zip line thing. The wind is blowing it up that line. That's a pretty strong wind. Blow that thing up the line. And then it gets up there so far and it blows back. And I was watching that thing one day. It was just going up and back and up and back. And what's going on? And the wind was blowing both directions. It literally was. Because you could see it in the trees as well. Now, how would I have known that if it wasn't for the trees and the zip line and the things that move? You wouldn't know it. And you sure don't know where it comes from. Jesus is using something from the creation to help us understand something about the Spirit. Do you have a spirit? You do. Pull it out, show it to me. I want to see it. Hold your spirit up. You can't do that, can you? That preacher's an idiot. He doesn't. What's he talking about? Hold up, my pull out my spirit. I can't. No, we don't know. I don't even know how my spirit dwells in me, how I have one. I don't know if it's around me on the outside or if it's somewhere on the inside. If it's on the inside, I wish it would dissolve some more of that fat that's in there, but it, I don't know if it's up here in my brain. I do have a brain, pretty sure of that. I don't know if the Spirit's up there or if it's in my heart, but what do I do with my heart? It just pumps blood, doesn't it? Isn't that all the heart does? I don't know. You know, you start thinking about there's a lot of stuff we don't know. Now, we assume we have certain internal organs. Medically speaking, what do you look for to test your liver? I think it's enzymes, is it not? You look for test those liver enzymes. Yeah, all the medical people are shaking their heads. I can hear Matt's knocking around over there too, shaking his head. How do you test your what's that thing that does your sugar? Pancreas, that's what it is, a pancreas. How do you test your pancreas? I think that's sugar levels. And what else is there? How do you see if your lungs are working? Well, is your blood getting oxygenated? If you can measure the oxygen in your blood, you can kind of, okay, your lungs must be working pretty good. Now, I have never, thankfully, I've never seen my lungs. I have never seen my pancreas. I have never seen my liver. I don't want to see them. But I think I got all those things because measurements are taken and the doctor says, yeah, this is what your oxygen level's doing. So there's evidence that it's there. What about the Spirit of God? Have you seen the Spirit? I think I've seen evidence of it. I'm looking at it right now. Isn't that fantastic that God would put His Spirit in us? Because that's what He says He does. That's what He's talking to Nicodemus about. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you've got to be born again by water and the Spirit. Now, the water part we get. I wonder if that's why God gave us water baptism, so we can see here's something that we can relate to physically. And Jesus is telling us this is when the spiritual that you can't see also takes place. The Spirit of God and the water. We've got to be born again by the Spirit of God and the water. How does that work? Don't ask me. Does it work? You can ask me about that. Now, why do I know whether it works? Because I read it in the book. That's how you can know anything about God. If you read it in the book, you can know it. If you can't read it in the book, well, you're just speculating. And it's okay to speculate, try to figure some things out, but eventually you get to some places where you go, I just don't know beyond that. And that's where we are with the Spirit of God. There's some things we don't know. But we do know this from what Jesus says right here. If you're a new creation, it's only by the Spirit of God. It's not because you and I have done enough works. It's not because we've thought enough nice thoughts. It's not because we've drunk enough grape juice and eaten enough cracker at communion. You know, by no way, and no, I'm not making fun at all. I'm just trying to say there's something way beyond those things that makes us new. And it's the Spirit of Almighty God. The reason we do all those things, take part in all those things, the reason we practice those things is because the Spirit of God has led us into those things and those practices. And so we do them as a reflection of God's leadership of us through His Spirit. We are created new, and so we do some new things. We don't do the same things we did when we were in the world and of the world. Now we do things that are of heaven above. And these are some of those. When Paul wrote about this in Titus, the letter that he wrote to Titus, this is Titus chapter 3. And he wrote about it, but he didn't really explain the details that we might want, but he said enough that we can get a grasp of what he's talking about. This is Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. We also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the, do you see it there? By the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Have you been renewed? Have you been regenerated? Has the Spirit of God cleansed you? The washing of regeneration? What could Paul be talking about there, except the very same thing Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about? Nicodemus, you got to be born again by water and the Spirit of God. Now, there are some who look at that and they say, oh, he's not talking about actual water. Well, just go a little farther on down in chapter 3, to verse 22, where we're seeing John the Baptist baptizing in a place where there was a lot of water. And then go a little farther and we see Jesus and his apostles baptized. This is John chapter 3. Jesus and his apostles are baptizing people. And you get to John chapter 4, the first part of chapter 4, says Jesus and his apostles were baptizing more people than John. Now, John baptized so many people that they called him the baptizer, but Jesus and his apostles were baptizing more people than that. And why in the first place did John come with a baptism that he taught people to observe? What was John's purpose? To prepare the way for Jesus. Now, we can't see the Spirit, but we can see that water. And God's pointing us to the water. That's what Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Paul, we see, is pointing Titus to it. He's teaching Titus about this, the washing of regeneration by the Holy Spirit. But that's what Peter taught in Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, this is where the kingdom is getting its start. Jesus has come to bring this kingdom into existence. It was prophesied in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7. Remember, we studied this a couple of weeks ago where the Son of Man was seen coming in the clouds of heaven and coming before the Ancient of Days. This is Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And there was given him power and glory and a kingdom and dominion that would never pass away. And that's about to start in Acts chapter 2. He's told the apostles, you go to Jerusalem and you wait there till you be endued with power from on high. Where'd that power come from? It came from the Holy Spirit of God. First part of chapter 2 says, the Holy Spirit of God came upon them and they spoke in tongues. Not gibberish, but they spoke in the languages of men. And that's what the observation was by those who heard them. How is it that we are hearing these guys, these fishermen from Galilee, and this hodgepodge of guys put together by Jesus? How do we hear them speak in the languages wherein we were born? They were amazed at this. Could you imagine? Bobby, can you speak Russian? No, you don't speak Russian? I just thought I'd ask. What if a Russian fella came in here? We had some dignitaries from Russia show up and they said, we want to see what an American church is like. And so a bunch of limousines pull up out there and a whole entourage of Russians come in here and they say, we want to see what this is like. And they got a translator. But the translator's figuring out how to translate everything. But Bobby said, wait a minute, I speak Russian. Well, how do you speak Russian, Bobby? Well, the Holy Spirit enabled me to speak Russian. He goes back there and he speaks fluent Russian to all these Ruskies and tells them, explains them exactly how the gospel works and how the church works and what Jesus has done. And we're going, wow, I didn't know Bobby could do that. But if the Spirit of God enables Bobby, I mean, after all, Balaam's donkey talked, so just messing with you, brother. He's going to mess with me later. But that's exactly how it worked on the day of Pentecost. And they started listening to these guys. It's just like when Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, I mean, why would he go see Jesus at all? Because he saw what Jesus was doing. He said, we know you're from God because we've seen the things that you do. I think it's interesting, too, that the Pharisee Nicodemus said, we. He didn't see I. He said, we know you're from God. We saw what you've done. On Pentecost, they saw what the apostles were doing. And so Peter stands up and he calms them and he said, no, don't worry about it. I'll tell you, this is the prophecy of Joel being fulfilled. And he explained to them who knew that prophecy of Joel, I'm sure, what was happening. God was pouring out his spirit. And then when they were satisfied that must be what's going on, he started preaching to them about Jesus in verse 22. And he preaches Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Brief sermon, not much to it at all. And he gets down to verse 36 and he makes this conclusion. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified. That's the sermon wrap up right there. Verse 37 says, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? They knew there had to be something to do. They didn't walk away thinking, we've had it, we're toast, it's all over. They asked, what do we do? And what did Peter tell them? You can see it right there in verse 38. Peter had an answer. He didn't have to, well, I'm not sure, let me think about this. No. His answer was from Jesus. Peter said, repent, let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. Those who are far off. Who's that? Who's that? It's us. It wasn't just far off geographically. Far off in time. All down the line. Remember in Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, he prayed for the apostles, that they would have unity, but he didn't pray just for the apostles. He said, I'm also praying for all those who will believe on me through their word. That's what you and I have done. We have believed in Jesus because of the words of the apostles. They spoke it. We believed it. Where did they get it? They got it from Jesus. It was revealed through the Spirit of God. And we are believing the words of Jesus. We're believing the words of the Spirit of God, and it's changing us. We're obeying that gospel that's been given to us. Because that's what Peter will say in chapter 5 of Acts. He'll say, the Holy Spirit is what God has given to all those who obey him. And that's what they did in Acts chapter 2. They heard that gospel and 3,000 people were baptized into Christ that day. There's your water and there's your spirit. There's that connection again. It's unmistakable. There's no way to get around it. And so when Paul's writing to the church at Rome, and we know they've already been baptized because that's what he's talking about in chapter 6. Don't you know that all of you who've been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? And they were raised to walk in what kind of life? Newness of life. That was chapter 6. So we get to chapter 8 where Gabe read for us this morning. And this is what we read there. All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by where we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. How do you follow the leadership of the Spirit? Do you stay up late at night and wait for him to say something to you? You got a book. This Bible is the revelation of God's Spirit. It was spoken to the prophets and the apostles. It was written down. It's been preserved for you and me. When you and I read that book and follow what it says, we are following the leadership of the Spirit. If you're ever watching one of these lawyer shows and the judge says, ah, you're leading the witness. How do you lead a witness? Well, you put a little rope around his neck and pull him along. Doesn't work like that. How do you lead a witness? You lead your witness with words. You use words to bring them into a circumstance that you want them to be in that may not be the right thing, but that's what words can do. But words can also lead to excellence. And in this case, they lead to eternity. Parents, grandparents, isn't that how we lead our grandchildren? We say things to them. You say, this is how you behave towards your siblings. This is how you behave towards your mom and your dad. This is how you treat elderly people. You rise up in front of the gray head. You stand up when an old person enters the room. This is how we teach our young people to have respect. You don't have to use the word respect. You just say, when they come in the room, you stand up. When they speak to you, you respond, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You don't have to say respect. You just lead them with your words into the behavior that you want them to have. And people will see your children. They will go, oh, you've got great kids. And what did Jesus say? He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. How do we know what those good works are? Well, the Holy Spirit of God's revealed them to us. Put them down in the Word. We read this Word. We soak it up. And the Spirit of God that is in you and me is helping us to understand, I believe, and helping us to have the courage and the strength to do what He has taught us to do. I don't know how it works. I don't know how my own spirit is in me, so I sure can't understand all the details of how God's spirit is in me, but I know I have a spirit. And by virtue of what the Word says, I know that the Spirit of God is in me as well. Now, you might be thinking, oh, I don't deserve that. Well, who does? That it's never based on the idea of deserving it. That's what Paul was writing about in Titus chapter 3. Not on the basis of works which we've done, but by His grace and His mercy, He's put His Spirit in it. He's washed us and renewed us. Now, the washing we can do ourselves. We can get to the water. We can say, hey, will you baptize me into Christ? And they will. Somebody might say, oh, they might not say the right thing. It's not magic. It's not abracadabra. It's not hocus pocus. It's the Spirit of God and our submitting to the will of Jesus Christ. That's all it is. Doesn't matter about the qualifications of the person baptizing you. It's what's in your heart. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? That gives you the right there. God says so in 1 John, or not 1 John, but John Gospel chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. That's where John writes, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you've got the right to become a son of God. But when you become a son of God, well, that's when you're born again, like Jesus told Nicodemus. You need to get to the water. You get to the water, the Spirit of God will meet you there, and you'll rise a new creature. That's a lesson for today. I wish I had more detail to give you, but I don't know more detail. I don't think it's in the book. I think this is something we accept by faith and we move on. Amen? So we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement and invitation. If you've never been born again, like Jesus told Nicodemus, he needed to be by water and the Spirit, this is the time to do it. If you need the prayers of this congregation, we're asking you to respond so that we can know how we might serve you today. Let's stand and sing together.